Have you ever felt like you have had the same problem forever? Have you ever felt so hopeless that you thought even Jesus wouldn't or couldn't fix that problem? Let me say this to you before I go further. Often, it is the thing that we have grown accustomed to or learned to tolerate in our lives that we need to change. I'll say it again. Very often, it is the things that we have grown accustomed to or learned to tolerate in our lives that we need to change. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 6, we see something very interesting. May I have all the scriptures today, Brother Harry, in the New King James? King James is good. King James is good. John 5, 6. I haven't changed my mind about the King James. And the reason that I'm using this today is that it's easy. I don't have to translate to you. When Jesus saw the sick man, lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Would you like to be made whole?" Here you are with a fella that has been sick for 38 years. And the first thing Jesus said to this man was surely one of the most provocative questions ever placed to anyone. Jesus looked at the fella and asked, "Do you want to get well?" What kind of question is this? The fella is sick for 38 years. And Jesus come to him and ask him if he wants to get well. You know what? There is a reason for that. There is a reason for that. Talk about an icebreaker, huh? Notice that Jesus doesn't ask him, "How are you doing?" Notice that Jesus doesn't tell him how much Jesus understands what life must have been like for the last 38 years that this fellow has been sick. Jesus go right to the root issue. And what was it? How bad do you want this healing? Are you with me so far? Why did Jesus ask such a question? I believe that the reason that Jesus asked that question is to change anything, you and I have to first desire it more than we desire just about anything. Did you get that? Yes. To change anything in our lives, we must desire it more than we desire just about anything. And I believe that that's when things will begin to change. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know." I'll show you something here now. I showed you this scripture 2 weeks ago. I was hoping that somebody would pick on me after service, and nobody did. Let's go to Mark 11, 24, Brother Harry. If there isn't a desire to change, very little or nothing will ever happen in our lives. The desire to change will propel us to do things different. The desire to change will propel us to try new things. Listen to this. "Therefore, I say unto you, What things soever, I hate this, but let's go. What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Ridiculous. I'm sorry. I'm a little normal. Why are you showing us this? What is the point? I want to call your attention to the word desire. I went to check it in the Greek, and it's actually desire in the Greek. I said, oh, wow. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have it. So you say, so what you're trying to say? If you have the desire to have a change in your life, that desire has the power to propel us into new adventures with God. If we have the desire to see things change, it will cause us to do things that we never did before and get out of our comfort zone. If we have the desire to see great things happen, it will propel us to move away from our comfort zone and risk and adventure into new waters with our God. Folks, there is a power on desire to change. Now, there are bad desires, there are good desires, and there is God's desires, which we might address next week. But just to give you an idea what I'm trying to say, there was a time a young man that was walking down a dock one day, and he noticed a man fishing. This man is a guy that he had read about and followed this man for many years. That young man desired to be a great salesman, as the fellow that he just saw. And that older man had been one of the best salesmen in the world. When he approached the old man, he asked the man what he needed in order to become a great salesman, like this guy on the dock, fishing. He's paying attention to what the answer will be from this famous salesman. The man gets up, grabbed him by the neck, and stuck his head underwater. The young man kicked and pushed and did everything he could to get up until he couldn't hold his breath any longer. When the young man finally fought his way out of the water, gasping, he looked at the man and asked, "Are you crazy?" You know, he was furious. He is grasping for air, and with a furious attitude, he declared, "Are you crazy? I couldn't breathe." The man looked at him, and the man responded, "Son, when you want to succeed as much as you wanted to breathe a few minutes ago, that's when you will become a great salesman and a great success in life." Did you get the point? So if you have the desire to change, you need to admit that you have a need and a desire to change it as much as you desire your breath. To get results, there are a few principles that we're supposed to follow. But change in our lives will not come unless there is a desire to change. I do not desire to end this year in the same way that I started it. And as a result of this, I am pursuing God more than I did before. I'm doing things now that I never did before. Like what? Are you going to the pharmacy to buy some vitamins? And here's the guy. Great. I said, wait a minute. What is wrong with you? I didn't do anything. I just came by and touched the man's back. And he coughed, and then he started coming back, and he stopped coughing. So he raised himself and looked at me like, who are you? I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. He goes, thank you. I feel good. You better believe. I never did this before. But you know what? I have a desire in my heart that by the end of the year, I'll get closer to God than in the beginning of this year. Because there is a desire in there, there is a power to motivate me to change, to do things different. Here's another thing I'm doing right now. It's very hard for me. When I get a good book, I pick it up. Don't call because I'm not answering. I dive into this thing and I will eat it up. My second son, who is in the army right now, called me and said, buy this book. Read and tell me what you think. I said, what is it all? Just do it. I said, boy, you better be good. It better be good. So I ordered the book. The book arrived Friday night. So I brought it yesterday. Sat down in my office after the men's meeting. And I pick up the book. Within 10 minutes, I am already in the end of the third chapter. I said, whoa, slow down. Slow down. What's the big deal? I can read a book in 2 hours. I'm a fast reader. There's only one problem. When you do that, if you are a good reader like I am, you still miss 50% of what you read. I would just grasp what is good. Whenever the guy's telling a story about whatever, I don't care about that. Give me the content. It gotta mean something. Now, this guy is a psychologist. And he's using psychological terms and placing things in a psychological way. And I loved it. And then within 10 minutes, wow, 10 minutes. And I look and I'm page 79. I said, whoa, slow down, Tiger. And then I went back again. I read the same 3 chapters. And man, was it good. So I went back again. And I read the third time, the same 3 chapters. I enjoyed every bit of it. The Bible said that by the witness of 2 people, all matters confirmed. Y'all know the scripture, right? A few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a vision about healing. I was aching to talk about this today. No. Okay. But could I just mention? No. All right. I think it's a waste. Excuse me? What did you say? I said, nothing. I just, you know. When can I use this, Lord? Maybe next week. All right. At the end of the chapter, that man mention like he had read what God told me a week ago. If I would haven't changed the way that I read, I would have missed it big time. Are you with me? So what you're saying? The power of desire will motivate us to change the way that we do things because we want things to be better. Are you with me? God has placed the power of desire in each one of us. You may be plagued with, say, financial burden of all your life. Oh, I do want that to desire. What are you doing to change it? Are you with me? Well, preacher, I want to be successful in all that I do. You will be successful in all that you do. On the day that you desire that as much as you desire the air that you breathe. Are you with me so far? So the question then that comes is, well, I think I've got this, but still things don't change. That's baloney. To get results, we have to follow some principles. And I'm willing to share with these principles with you tonight, because I think that God is up to something much bigger. So what are the principles that we must follow, preacher? Of course, the number one principle, we must desire to change things in our lives. We must want changes to take place. Now, if you're satisfied with the whatever you have right now, then there is not going to be no motivation to change anything. But when we want more, when we recognize, hey, I can do better than this, I want more than what I have, I want to know my God better, I want to have a better spiritual life. You see, I am a good sleeper. But for some reason, sleeping is not as sweet as it used to be 10 years ago. Well, 2 months ago, the Lord appeared to me in a vision, and He said, I want you to exercise 3 times a week. What? I want you to exercise 3 times a week. Start with 10 minutes. Great. What's that? I said, yes, sir. I thought so. So I kind of procrastinated on doing the exercise. Man, I got to go all the way to Lansdowne to LA Fitness. And I never did. So finally, my nights are starting getting rougher. I still sleep good, but no longer 8-9 hours like before. It went down to 8, and then to 7, then to 6, and then to 5. So wait a minute, something is not right here, and I refuse to take medication to sleep. So I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong here? Something in the back of my head said, exercise. There wasn't a desire to exercise. Are you with me? So when I hit the threshold, 5 hours, I thought it's time to change this. Came to church in the beginning of the week, did it backwards. Walk from here all the way down. Bottom of the hill. On the way back, I was almost crawling. It's rough, brother. It's rough. Steep turn. Well, made it up here, almost dead, drink a gallon of water, went home, I slept 6 hours. I think, God may be up to something here. 2 days later, I went down here and came back, and then I look at that hill, oh no, not today. And I went back again from here down to Liberty Road, and I came back again, and I worked in the parking lot twice. Went home, and I slept 7 hours. And I thought, God is up to something. All of the sudden, the desire to change came. So we came in. I went twice down there, and then I walk in here 6 times. I slept 8 hours. So this thing is working. So yesterday I was motivated to do it. So I went down twice, and then I went down there and back here, and once around the parking lot. This morning I had a hard time waking up. Why am I telling you this? When the desire to change is there, it will propel you to do things that you didn't do before. And God has placed that thing on us. You know, your life don't have to be the way that it is. Jesus said on the scriptures that whatever things you desire, you can have it. You can have it. And Jesus placed in our hearts that power to change things. And when we believe it can be accomplished, it happens. Are you with me here? I was talking to a contractor that came to take a look here. And if I would have told you what I heard from this guy about south wing, the north wing and the south wing and the trailer, I said, "Mister, God bless you. Anything, I'll call you." "Excuse me?" "You know, anything, we'll call you. So when are you going to start?" He said, "We are not going to start. Anything, I will call you." The obstacles that were spoken of were so great that I would have lost the desire to have a north wing and a south wing. But the desire to see God's dream for our congregation is bigger than any negative thing that any contractor may say. Amen. And you will live to see this wall moved all the way to the back. And you will be able to walk right in here. There's going to be a door right in here. On this corner here. You're going to be able to walk right in here and go through to the north wing. And in the same way on the other side and go to the south wing. To the Sunday school class and to the fellowship hall. Why? It's God's desire for us to have. And God has placed down that thing within us that is propelling us to do things that we never did before. There is power on the right desire. And God has placed that thing within us so that we can change things. You know, it is boring to be normal Christian. It is boring. It is sweet when things start happening supernaturally. So let me use the right word here. It's a spiritual game. Me and my wife, we're going to go out today and let's see which miracle God's going to do. So we go downtown. So what you looking for? I said, I want a miraculous parking spot and I want somebody to give me their ticket. She said, amen. So we go, we get into Lombard. Then we turn around, come the other road that come this way. I don't know what the name of the street. Whatever that is, Pratt Street. And everything is taken. Said, Lord, we are believing in the miracle. All of a sudden, a turning signal starts blinking. I hold my brakes. Nobody behind me. I hold my brakes. The person get out of the space, put his blinkers on, came back and handed me a ticket with 2 hours. Oh. Yes! Yes! You may say, what is the big deal? I didn't have to pay for a parking spot, and I didn't have to walk for 2 miles to get to my car. I want things to change. I don't want it to be mundane, normal, usual, regular. Whatsoever things you desire. The book says, if you believe you're going to receive, you're going to get them. And I'm challenging you, don't stay the same way that you are. Set for the stars. Oh, shoot for heaven. The stars still not as far as I wish to go. Shoot for heaven. And heaven will be yours. Just like that salesman. Now, you may be thinking, okay, preacher, can you tell us what's the reason why I have the desire, but things have not changed my life? Number one, the reason that things may have not changed in your life is fear. Our fear of change is the fact that we hold change from taking places in our life because we don't believe that we can change. We are afraid in many times, well, it might not work. Then we don't try. But you know what? If you would think about this, 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has given us a spirit of power and not of fear. And power is what causes change. Are you with me here? Yes. A lot of people will not even try because they are afraid it won't work. I mean, I know that the average Christian, if I say, well, let's play this game. Let's agree right now that we're going to go to Pratt Street. God will give us a parking space. And we even cause the person living out to come and give us the ticket with minutes. The average person will say, oh, come on now. That doesn't work. I mean, you can pay $8. No, I don't want to pay $8. The city's getting $8 for 2 hours. The fellow used it for 15 minutes. Why should I give the city another $8? For them to be feeding up Planned Parenthood? No. No. So we agree. The person was with us said, do you think it's going to work? I told him, watch and see. When the guy came and gave us a ticket, he goes, oh, wow. Baby, we're going to be better this at the end of this year than what we were in the beginning of the year. So the fear of change sometimes causes us not to want to try because we think it don't work. In many cases, things don't change in our lives. That desire for change doesn't work because of our perception. What do you mean? We perceive the need for change as an admission of weaknesses. No, the need for change doesn't mean that you're weak. It just means that you want to be better. Are you with me here? The need for change in my life doesn't mean that I'm weak or sinful. I just want better. I just want more. We have another thing that we are working on, and I don't want to talk about this right now because we have not agreed to talk about this yet. But among some of the things that we have agreed upon to be different in our lives, we agree that God will talk to Marshall once a week. This one I can talk, but the other one I can't. Talk clearly, just like we're talking here. She looked at me and said, you sure we're going to agree on this? I said, yes, I am. All right. We started last week, Sunday. By Thursday, the Lord appeared to Marsh and said, I want you to go to pray for Rose Drabik. You heard the testimony this morning, right? It works, guys. Hallelujah. It works. Don't settle for what you have. Come on now. I want to see my brother saved. You know, when there's people that has money, they think they don't need God. Last time I saw my brother, we went out to eat, and he ordered a huge snapper. I love snappers. And it was grilled right in front of us. Oh, delicious. Lots of lemon. We had some Diet Coke and lemon. I dive into that fish. Good gracious. While we are eating, he drank the equivalent of 12 cans of beer. Yeah, he didn't eat. So he didn't eat. He's just looking at us and talking nonsense and drinking beer. So by the time I finished eating, I got up. I said, what are you doing? I said, nothing. So I came and right in front of him, in front of everybody in the restaurant, spirit of drunkenness, you better get out of this boy. What are you doing? Shut up. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of drunkenness, get out of this man's life. You're embarrassing me. Spirit, shut up. And I went on. He's upset, you know. The tough guy. Everybody knows him. He's a big shot. And you come, you had a dude praying for you, for the spirit of drunkenness, to get out. So the bartender said, excuse me. So I said, be quiet, in Jesus' name. So he backed off. All right, we finish. Yes, let's go back to life. We left, we came home. It was right a day before we came. Yesterday, my sister called me and said, you know, something is happening to your brother. So now he's my brother, right? What happened? Do you remember that last time you guys went out, he drank 12 cans of beer? Said yes. His wife said something is weird about him. He's home early every day now. And he drinks every other day and only 2 cans. So don't you worry. The day will come, he's not going to be drinking anything. And he's going to be walking to church to worship the God that we serve. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. Don't be afraid that it will not work for you. You know, don't have that preconceived thought, thinking that it's a weakness. No, 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 no. I'm going to go for it. Another reason that things sometimes don't change in our lives is because we don't like to unsettle things in our lives. Are you with me here?
Yes.
My life is good the way it is. Leave it alone. I don't need no more stress. Have you ever heard that before? We are settling for mediocrity when we could have a miracle. Beloved, remember that your miracle is often waiting in trouble and unsettled waters. Peter could have never walked over the sea. Peter could have never walked upon the water if there wasn't troubled water when Jesus was coming. Don't make it wait any longer. If you have ever decided to clean out your desk or your closet, for example, you start out thinking you will tidy it up a bit. Right? Then, as you get into it, realize how much there is to be done. It begins to look worse as you are working on it. But it's all about to change. You don't have to give up. Things are about to get better no matter how messy the situation may look like. Because your God is desiring. Your God is desiring to grant the desires of your heart. Let the power of desire work on you. And here's the proof. Brother Harry, can you put up there Proverbs 10:24? Don't give up. Don't settle for mediocrity. Go along with God's program. Proverbs 10:24. Listen to this. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. But did you get this? So what do I need? You need that desire to change. You need that desire to get better. You need that desire to accomplish things that you couldn't accomplish before. And you know what? I have a desire. Before this month is over, I'm going to walk 3 times back and forth from that bottom of the hill to the other bottom of the hill and come back.
Amen. Amen.
Good goal.
The desire of the righteous will be granted.
Amen.
Don't give up, please. Don't settle for mediocrity. God has the best in mind for you.
Amen.
You are loved with love, love, and more love. God promised that He's going to stick with you to the very end. God says that He's going to make every word He gave you come true. And God is now telling you that the desire of the righteous will be granted.
Amen.
Don't settle for less. Don't settle for mediocrity. But I'm sick. Don't settle for the sickness. No, you can't have my body. Beat it. But when I'm still sick, continue to fight. Are you going to sit like a duck and let the sickness knock you down? Nonsense. Life was never promised to be a walk in the park to none of us. When we cross over the clouds, you know, through the pearly gate, then things come to rest. While we're here, we're going to fight. And you know what? You are a warrior. You are a warrior. Don't accept captivity. Stand up for your rights. Stand up for what God has for you. Fight for it. Don't give up. Don't sit like a duck and be beaten up left and right. The Bible says that your desire will be granted by your God. Go for it. Don't settle for less. And enjoy the best of your life. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.